a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Welcome to Senate Commerce and Energy Committee. With that, we're going to call this meeting to order. If the Secretary would please call the roll.
Adelstein? Buell? Here. Johnston? Lederman? Here. Brave? Here. Nygaard?
Here.
Nelson?
Here.
There is a quorum.
Having a quorum present, I will call this meeting of the Senate Commerce and Energy Committee to order. And welcome our guests in the gallery today and also those listening over the Internet. And for those of you in, what? Minutes. Yes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes of last meeting?
Second.
Moved by Senator Rave, seconded by Senator Buell to approve the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, same sign. Minutes are approved. With that, I would remind people wanting to testify to sign in at the booth, please, at the stand over there and signify which bill you're testifying on. And also any handouts, if you'll give them to our pages. And today our two pages are Aspen Ducheneau from Eagle Butte. Thank you, Aspen, for coming. And Peter Delgado from Lower Brule. Thank you, Peter, for volunteering your time. Please have any cell phones in the silent mode, and be careful when you're leaning on the podium back there so that you don't break the stand. Oh, I'm sorry. okay. And please address all your questions to the chair. And so with that, we're going to begin with House Bill 1097, a bill to revise certain provisions regulating the investment of unneeded state operating expenses in banks. And with that, I invite opponent testimony. Good morning, Representative Novastrup.
Good morning. Representative David Norstrup from Brown and McPherson Counties, District 3. I bring you House Bill 1097 from the South Dakota Bankers Association. Its goal is to provide units of local government and their local depository bank a tool to secure full Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation coverage for local funds, whether they are in certificate of deposit or in a money market account. This is permissive language. There's no mandate. And then South Dakota Banking Association representative will give you more of the detail and answer more of the questions. And two of you I saw earlier in the committee, and I hope this bill sees the same fate as the other one. And I ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Novastrup. Any further proponents for House Bill 1097? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commerce Committee. My name is Kurt Everson, and I'm here on behalf of the members of the South Dakota Bankers Association this morning. I'm not convinced that the title to House Bill 1097 provides a real accurate picture of the true intent of this bill, as it has nothing to do with the investment of state funds or state operating expenses. Maybe the title from House Bill 1137 from 2004 is a better indicator. And the title of that bill, which passed both houses of the legislature by a combined vote of 99-3, was an act to permit the investment of public funds in certificates of deposit insured by the FDIC. House Bill 1097 proposes to expand a permissive concept that was embodied in 2004's House Bill 1137 beyond just certificates of deposit to local government funds that are held in cash sweep accounts or money market accounts. That's simply what this bill does. For the committee's benefit, the FDIC coverage back in 2004 on a per-account basis was capped at $100,000, has since been raised permanently to $250,000. So this bill today is really aimed at, to the extent that a unit of local government has on deposit more than $250,000 in a local account, in a local money market, or a local cash sweep account, then the bank needs to provide full coverage, full insurance coverage, or they have to pledge assets in their securities portfolio to the full balance of whatever is in that account. This bill essentially allows the use of a utility called the Certificate of Deposit Account Registry Service. That's a bit of a mouthful. The acronym is CDERS. It allows a local bank to work with their local government deposit customers using this utility, this electronic deposit trading utility, to secure FDIC coverage for the full amount of local government funds on deposit. That's what this bill does today. It's a permissive piece of legislation. It doesn't tell any local bank or local unit of government that they have to do anything. It gives the local bank an opportunity to use this utility to essentially swap deposits with a bank that has some room, so that at the end of the day, the local government deposits are fully FDIC insured. So that's what the bill does. There's a second component to this bill as well. You'll notice that in several areas, it strikes reference to savings and loan savings and loan associations, which used to appear in Title 52 of South Dakota Codified Laws. That title was repealed in its entirety in 2007 by the South Dakota Legislature, and so that's just cleanup language to delete an archaic reference in this section of the code. So that's the sum and substance of the bill. I ask for your favorable consideration. We'll stand by for questions at the appropriate time. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Everson.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Dean Krogman, I represent the Independent Community Bankers, and we rise in support of this bill. It provides flexibility in both ways, in terms of security and the ability to utilize the money in different communities. So we would appreciate your support. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Krogman. Any further proponents for House Bill 1097? Seeing none, are there any opponents to bill House Bill 1097? Seeing none, I would. You want to waive rebuttal in this case? Thank you, Bear. And we'll open the. Seeing no rebuttal and hearing no rebuttal and no opponents, we'll move to discussion and/or action. Questions of the proponents.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Hatch.
Question for Mr. Everson. I suspect I know the answer since it's not in the original code, but is there some prohibition from these government agencies doing business with credit unions?
Mr. Chairman, there is no prohibition. In fact, I don't remember the year, but there used to be restrictions on the ability of for government funds to be placed on deposit with credit unions, and that was lifted before me coming to the SDBA some 10 years ago. So there's been a long-standing ability for, at least I know at the state level, for state funds to be deposited with credit unions. I don't know of any restriction on local government funds either.
Follow-up?
Follow-up, go ahead.
And I'm not going to muddy this bill. I think it does exactly what it says, but should there be something in some future time that would address credit unions being able to do this?
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
The public policy issue, I guess, if there are several regarding the deposit of public funds with credit unions. One's a safety and soundness issue, and the credit unions are regulated by a federal regulator in South Dakota, much like the banks are, so there is an ongoing review. The primary difference between credit unions and banks in South Dakota is banks are subject to the state bank franchise tax, and frankly are subject to state and local sales taxes as well, whereas the credit unions are not. They pay no franchise tax. They pay no federal income tax either.
Thank you. I have a couple questions for you myself. So this House Bill 1097 would pertain to both state chartered banks and national chartered banks in South Dakota. Is that correct?
Mr. Chairman, that's correct.
And then the other, early in your testimony, you referred to House Bill 1137 from last year. having a more appropriate title, and I would agree when I look at this title. Did I hear a hint of your interest in amending the presenting a title amendment if this were to be due pass today?
Mr. Chairman, I guess that would be up to the committee. I certainly would be fine with a title amendment if you wanted to, you know, for the purposes of the archives and the annals of legislative history, perhaps a title such as an act to permit the investment of public funds in any deposit insured by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation would probably be appropriate, because we're talking about certificates, we're talking about so time deposits and more ready cash funds, so any deposit perhaps would be appropriate.
Thank you very much. And a further question for Mr. Krogman. Mr. Krogman,
yes.
I noticed during that last discussion your head started to go the other direction, so I thought I'd give you an opportunity.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Dean Krogman, I represent Independent Community Bankers. We would, first of all, just not wanting a bill when it's going someplace and the next step is to the governor or House or Senate, I wouldn't want it amended and bring it back if it doesn't change a substance.
Fine.
If the bill does what it does, then let it go. If you change the title to any federal, we would oppose it, because we do oppose credit unions participating in this when they don't pay any taxes. And the banks, state, federal, have gone through the ups and downs of every financial institution. Through all those ups and downs, and the most evident is the franchise tax variable that you have seen over the years. That's money that gets, and they do all the community work that a federal credit union will tell you. There are no state credit unions.
Right.
So, you know, we would oppose changing it to any federally insured, because I believe that would include credit unions.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Krogman, for that sage advice. Thank you. Any further questions and or discussion or action? Senator Rabe.
Mr. Chair, I move due pass.
Motion's due pass by Senator Rabe, seconded by Senator Buell. Any discussion?
Only, Mr. Chair, that I think, well, I mean, the bill obviously is pretty straightforward, and I would agree with the not changing the title. I think it does make a substantive change to the bill, and I think LRC probably took that into consideration when they drafted it. So I know it's a little wordy and probably not totally accurate, but I think it's applicable for where we're at. So I'd certainly encourage support of the bill.
Thank you. Any further discussion? I think, as Chair, I'm just going to make one comment, and I just want to echo some of the comments that the last speaker gave, and that was, the last testimony. You know, the federal credit unions have grown in their ability to access federal funds and insurance and act like banks, and yet we receive no bank franchise tax from them, which I think is a great inequity in regard to our state-chartered and national-chartered banks in South Dakota. And I hope our federal delegates are listening in on this one and moving forward in that direction to do something to create an equity between those, because they're gaining market share, the federal credit unions, and they're loosening their restrictions. You don't even, all you have to do is drive by the bank and look at it. Nope, you're a member. It used to be you actually had to be employed in that walk of life or profession to be called a federal credit union member. So with those gratuitous remarks from myself, I would ask the secretary to call the roll.
Buell?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
4-4.
Having received a unanimous vote of the members present, this passed. Any further motions? Senator Rave.
Second.
Motion consent by Senator Rave, seconded by Senator Nelson. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Motion will move forward on the consent calendar. Thank you. That's 2 in 1 day, Nova Strap. All right, House Bill 1125. It's a bill to clarify the definition of engaging in business in certain circumstances. I'll accept proponent testimony at this time. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Thank you. I'm Senator Elizabeth Krause from District 33, Rapid City. We have a Senate bill, or House bill, I'm sorry, 1125, and this bill is to clarify the definition of engaging in business in certain circumstances. This subsection of the statutes applies to organizations that are exempt from gross receipts tax, and you can see them in line 5, religious, benevolent, fraternal, youth association, or charitable activities. And this is just asking, if you drop down to line 10, for the purpose of determining whether this business has been engaged in for more than 3 days, that the days for setup and organizing and prepping for and taking down or disassembling the business or the activity may not be construed as days engaged in business. And I will stand by for other proponents and any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Thank Senator you. Krause. Any further proponents for House Bill 1125? Representative Hunt, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Roger Hunt, State Representative, District 10, Brandon, Minnehaha, and Lincoln Counties. House Bill 1125 actually stems out of a situation involving the Lifelight Festival, which is held annually in Sioux Falls or in the Sioux Falls area. As many of you know, this is a free Christian concert-type festival. It brings thousands and thousands and thousands of people into the greater Sioux Falls area. It brings in millions and millions of dollars, very honestly. There has been a concern on the part of Lifelight relative to some correspondence that have been exchanged with the Department of Revenue. And the Department of Revenue seems to be of the position that this festival is for more than 3 days. And the reason they are taking that position is they're saying that people are coming in on Thursday before the event, which starts at noon on Friday, and they don't leave until Monday, typically. Now, one of the reasons why a lot of people are coming in is because it's been at the recommendation, very honestly, of local law enforcement and highway patrol that the Lifelight people plan for their attendees to come in not all on Friday. Because you can imagine if you had 100,000 people in their vehicles coming in one day for a facility located close to the interstate and some other major highways, it could be rather disastrous. So the Lifelight people, of course, make it available if people want to come in early. There's no concerts going on Thursday. There's no concerts going on Monday. But as a practical matter, some of the people come in, they bring campers in. They park their cars, and there's been some concern that even though presently all of the exhibitors at the three-day festival are paying taxes, they're paying the sales tax, and that's all being paid into the state, if Lifelight loses the exemption that's provided for here in 1125, there could be very well a double taxation because this is an exemption on the gross receipts tax, if you would. So what 1125 does is add, obviously, the underlying material to deal with the fact that in order to have this exemption, any religious, fraternal, youth organization, etc., that engages in some sort of a business, in this case the business is the festival, for more than 3 days, then they could lose this exemption. So this bill seeks to clarify what is meant by 3 days. In other words, it doesn't mean all of the traffic that comes in on Thursday or all of the traffic that's still around there on Monday. A lot of that is dealing with the setup. They have a lot of stages to set up. They have a lot of lights and all of that. So this simply says, for purposes of determining whether the business is engaged for more than 3 days, days necessary to set up, organize, prepare, or take down or disassemble the business may not be construed as days engaged in the business. Now, when we were drafting this, we looked at that 3 days and said, hey, maybe we should just make it 4 days or 5 days, and then that would take care of the Thursday and the Monday. But as we looked at that, we said that would probably do a disservice to the system, because now you're moving away from just a weekend event to more than a weekend. Now you're getting off into some potential larger commercial type events, and we don't want to do that. We want to go along with the law of 3 days, but we want to kind of define what is meant by that 3 days. Members of the committee is essentially what 1125 says. Now, we have one other, at least, proponent who is on the staff of LifeLight, who is intending to come forth, and he can also answer any questions you might have, as I or the senator would be happy to do as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hunt. Any further proponents? House Bill 1125.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and ladies and gentlemen. My name is Cameron Gage, and I'm for this bill. I am the finance director for LifeLight Communications in Sioux Falls, and I'm handing out, I believe it's the last 4 years, copies of the posters, all of the advertising, which does, in fact, establish it being a three-day event. And I'm happy to answer any other questions you have, but I'm definitely for this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gage. Any further proponents? House Bill 1125. Good morning, Representative Steele.
Morning, Mr. Chairman. I just want more or less just a me too. I'm one of those that I don't get out there on Friday, Thursday. I don't get out there on Monday. I appreciate all that stuff being done ahead of time. I just go out there and enjoy LifeLight on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. And with thousands upon thousands upon thousands of cars and people coming in there, it's amazing how all of that works. It is a revenue producing activity, and I would want to speak for it and want to see it continue. It's a special blessing for our area of the state. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Any further proponents? House Bill 1125. Any opponents for House Bill 1125? Seeing no opponents, I'll close testimony this morning for House Bill 1125 and open it for questions and discussion. Representative Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is a technical question. The bill I have ends in a punctuation mark.
Yeah, I see.
And I just looked over Senator Buell's shoulder, and she has the same thing electronically. Is that something we need to take care of, or are we missing something?
Would LRC staff care to comment on that?
Sure, Mr. Chair. It looks like it just deals with the subdivision 5, and that's why it ends in the semicolon. I would defer, I believe Ruben took care of this, I would defer to his knowledge and say that it's probably okay.
Well, I would just respond to that. Due to the 11th hour of the timing in this legislative session, I wonder if we could get something definitive on that. Yes.
Chairman.
Representative Hunt, can you shed some light on this?
If I could, the committee will note that on line 5, we have parens 5, closed parens. This, in other words, is a subsection, and so it goes on to subsection 6, and so that's why the need for the colon at the end of line 15.
Thank you, Representative Hunt. I think that sums it up. Further questions of House Bill 1125? I have a question. I think possibly Mr. Gage would be the one to answer this. Mr. Gage, what has been the history? Your first year appears to be 2008. Is that correct?
As far as the display, yes. Mr. Chairman, the first LifeLight festival that was held in 1998.
Oh, 98.
And it started out on a church lawn.
Okay.
And then from there it grew to, outgrew that and went to the fairgrounds in Sioux Falls. And from there it went to Wildwater West. And,
oh, yeah.
And then in last year, 2010, was a new location on a farm site approximately 2 miles east of Worthing, South Dakota.
Further question is, just using these four posters you have here, the attendance in 2008 might have been, could you give me an approximation?
Mr. Chairman, that was previous to me being employed by LifeLight Communications. However, since somewhere around 2008-2007, they exceeded 100,000 per day, somewhere around 300,000 to 320,000 in attendance over the 3-day weekend.
So in 2011, about how many did you have?
It was over 300,000.
Over 300,000, yes, because I was familiar with 2010 surpassing 250,000.
Mm-hmm.
And so this represents a significant amount of revenue, not just not only directly to the charity, but also to the community at large over probably a period of week, people coming and going and spending money in hotels and all that sort of thing.
Mr. Chairman, if I'm not mistaken, and this is this would be an approximation, but it came from the state, a figure of, I believe it was $53 million in that weekend, of which $11 million would be taxes.
All right.
From the weekend, so it is substantial.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Any other questions of the committee? If not, we would move on to discussion and or action.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Nelson.
I move due pass on 1125.
Senator Nelson moves due pass, and seconded by Senator Adelstein. Addressing that motion.
Nope, I'm comfortable with the bill. Not so much with the semicolon at the end, but I trust that if it it'll be reviewed by the governor's staff, and if there's a style and form correction, they'll confer with LRC. The intent of the bill is there, and I think we're fine with passing it.
Any further statements? With that, Secretary, please call the roll.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Buell?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Unanimous, 5.
Having received a unanimous vote, House Bill 1125 will move forward to the floor of the Senate with a due pass motion. Any further action on that one? Hearing none.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Nelson. Senator Nelson moves consent. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Senator Adelstein. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, having received a unanimous vote, it will move forward to the Senate floor on consent.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. House Bill 1229, an act to exempt certain persons from the requirement to license as a mortgage loan originator. Do we have a proponent in the House? Good morning, Representative Lust.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. David Lust, House of Representatives, District 34. Bring to you today House Bill 1229, which is an effort to essentially minimize the impact of the SAFE Act. And the SAFE Act is a federal act that requires licensing primarily for residential loans or mortgages in order to be a participate as a in the mortgage process. You have to be a licensed as a mortgage loan originator, which is done through the Division of Banking here in South Dakota. South Dakota extended the SAFE Act to not only residential but commercial loans as well, involving commercial property. 1229 seeks a small carve-out to allow a de minimis number of mortgages to be worked upon in certain circumstances. And though that exemption really covers only non-residential mortgages and is up to three in any given 12-month period. And the origination of this bill came about due to circumstances involving individuals who may be selling their business. Could involve ranchers or farmers who are selling their farm and ranch. If I'm selling a business and it involves real property, and I say I carry back a mortgage, carry back a note on that property, according to the law currently in South Dakota, I would need to be a mortgage, licensed mortgage loan originator. So with this de minimis carve out, it would allow people in the commercial, basically non-residential, ag and commercial, to essentially deal in mortgages up to three in any 12-month period. So it allows that businessman to sell his business and carry back some financing and secure it with a mortgage. It allows the rancher or farmer to sell a parcel of land and carry back some financing and secure it with a mortgage. It does not, it's a small enough number that it's not going to encroach upon traditional lenders and others who are in the mortgage business. There's also an additional section that just clarifies when attorneys, how attorneys are exempt from the SAFE Act as well, and that's the new section you see on page 2. As an attorney, I should not have to be a mortgage loan originator if I'm assisting a client in drafting or negotiating a mortgage. And that was the case under the existing law. This new section just clarifies a little bit. So with that, I will stand by for questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Lust. Any further proponents? House Bill 1229. Seeing none, are there any opponents for House Bill 1229? Okay, I think Bob Miller was going to testify on this. His name is on the list here. No, he's not. He's for it. Well, we have a registered for by Bob Miller, who we don't know if he wants to testify or not, so... No opponents, seeing no opponents, we'll close committee testimony and open for questions. Senator Adelstein.
One quick question, the representative.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, you only allow three. What about attorneys that handle a lot of these matters for people? Won't they come to end up drawing mortgages more than three?
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Senator Alstein, there's two sections to this bill. One is a carve-out, a de minimis carve-out, and the other involves attorneys. So the attorney's ability to assist in mortgages and negotiating mortgages is unlimited, and that's on page 2 of the bill. So that carve-out for the three does not apply to mortgage to attorneys.
I only got one page. That was the reason. Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you. Any further questions? Any rebuttal? Seeing none, we'll close discussion and open for committee action.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Adelstein.
I move do pass.
Motion by Senator Adelstein, do pass, seconded by Senator Rave. Any comments on that motion, Senator? Senator Adelstein, any comments?
No, I just didn't have the section
8. All right, and with that, Secretary, please call the roll.
Adelstein? Buell?
Aye.
Rave?
Aye.
Nygaard?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
It is unanimous, 5.
Having received a unanimous vote of the members present, the House Bill 1229 is due pass. Any further? Senator Rave moves to consent. Senator Buell second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say aye. Ayes have it, and this will move forward to the floor on consent.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any comments you want to make?
Thank you, Senator Nygaard, for chairing the meeting. I thought I was going to have to pop in and out, and I also thought we might go a little longer. But that completes our bill list, 47 of them, some of them twice. or more. At this point, Senator Nygaard, if I may, I don't believe we'll have a meeting scheduled for Thursday, but stay tuned. We'll contact you if anything comes up. We will meet next Tuesday at our regular time to take up any housekeeping and deals we need to do. So thank you, Senator Nygaard.
I'll entertain a motion for adjournment. Moved by Senator Rabe, seconded by Senator Buell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. This meeting is adjourned.